I want you to turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 1. I want to read the first few verses of this chapter, and I want to help you tonight with something that I believe will be both biblical and practical, and something that we can glean from and be helped with tonight. I do not plan on being lengthy or long, but I do want to share a truth with you and challenge you from the Word of God tonight. And so if you listen fast, I'll speak fast, and hopefully we can go home better people. Amen? We're going to begin reading at the first part of chapter, verse 1 of chapter number 1 in the book of Romans. Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome, of course, and what you would call the beginning verses, you might call, some would call the salutation. And we're going to begin reading here in verse number 1, and I want to read through verse number 8. And you know what? Let's do this. Could we stand as we read the Word of God? I'm going to be standing for the next 2 hours. You can stand for 2 minutes, right? Is that? Well, not 2 hours, maybe an hour and a half. But anyway, if you're able to, if you're not able to, that's totally fine. But let's look at the Word of God, and I'll read it out loud. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now I know that this is the beginning of a book. It's the beginning of a chapter. And so you have these kind of what we would call maybe preliminary verses, these greetings, this beginning to get into the whole book of Romans. But I see a few things here tonight that I want to help us with that I believe will challenge us in an area that is very important church-wide and in our individual Christian lives. And that is making an impact. And that's what I want to talk to us about briefly tonight. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then you may be seated after prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every one who has chosen to be here tonight. No doubt many, Lord, have come straight from work and maybe even without enjoying the evening meal yet, just so that they could come and sing your praises and hear your word presented. Lord, I want to respect everyone's time tonight. I pray that you would please give me the words to say that would be a help and encouragement. I really do want to be a blessing. I pray, God, that you would just speak through me and use this message and your word to challenge us in this area of making an impact for the cause of Jesus Christ. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Paul is here once again writing to the Christians in Rome. Now, history tells us that he was in Corinth. He's writing to Christians in Rome. And if I did my calculations correct, that's over 600 miles from one destination to the other. And in his beginning verses, he, of course, is greeting the people. He is sharing with them who he is and how that he's been called of God to minister and all these good things. But in this beginning, just in these 8 verses, I see some things here that I want to pull from and use tonight to help us. He acknowledges the impact that these Christians are making in their area. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself because about midway through the message, we're going to address how that he acknowledged that. But in these first few verses, Paul is writing and he's sharing with them the fact that, and he's acknowledging the impact that they are making for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, I think most all of us know, when we, in context, hear the word impact, what we're talking about. But I like to give definitions. And so I looked up the definition for the word impact. And it says, a force of contact or an impression made of one thing on another. A force of contact or an impression made of one thing on another. I don't know if you have been like this, but as I get older, I often reflect back on people who have made an impact or an impression in my life. This September, I'm turning 50 years old. That's old to me. Some of you are like, what's that? What's the, you got food in the refrigerator older than that, you know. Yeah. How many of you think 50 is old? I used to think 50 was real old. Now I think it's just, I still feel like a young adult. You know, when we started our Abundant Life class 25 years ago, this July, we called it the Abundant Life Young Adult Class. Oh man. Now we call it the Abundant Life, one foot on a banana peel, the other one on a grave, Sunday school. No, we don't do that. But you know, as you get older, and I know 50 is kind of a milestone anyway for me. Some of you passed that many, many moons ago. But I'm not looking at anyone as I say that because I don't want to offend you. But I was thinking about the people in my life. You know, there are no self-made men. I've heard that said for years. We are all a product of other people's investment in our life. And I was thinking of people in my life that have made an impact or a force of contact or an impression on my life. I thought of what ended up being rather humorous story that I wanted to share with you. When I look at the word impact, several years ago, this was before, Ryan, this was before we officially started men's softball. And we just had kind of a pickup game. I think it was at a church picnic that we had at Rivercrest Park. And we were playing softball, and we divided up into two different teams. And we had ones in the infield, ones in the outfield. I know all kinds of things about softball, just ask me. And, we were playing a game. It was fun. We were having a great time. Now, Brother Jeremiah Glosser, anybody remember him? He was very competitive in softball. And we were on opposite teams. And so that means I was on one team and he was on the other, in case you didn't get that. We were on opposite teams. And, you know, I love to play softball and get someone out. I was playing first base at the time. But you know what? And some of you guys that played softball with Brother Jeremiah, there was just a wonderful feeling that just came over my soul if I could get him out. Okay? Anybody with me tonight? Okay? Anybody? Okay. Some of you guys that played softball, it was just a wonderful feeling. He was very competitive and he's very good. Very good. Now, basically, when it comes to softball, he was twice the man I was. Matter of fact, when it came to anything, he was twice the man I was, okay? But he was really good at it. And so we're playing, our team's in the outfield, his team is up to bat, and he comes up to bat. And I'll tell you what, he can scare you a little bit when he comes up to bat. I mean, he is ready to knock the ball out of the park. And so I'm there at first base, he's up to bat, and he's getting ready, he's getting his swing down, he's getting his form ready and all that kind of stuff. And he hits the ball, and when he hits the ball, man, it just flies, it just goes. And he hit that ball really hard, and it went out past the shortstop out in the outfield, and I'm at first base, and I'm just, okay, come on guys, let's do this. I know how to catch a softball, okay? if you get it to my glove, I will catch it, and we will get him out. And when you got him out, it was like getting two outs at once. You know what I mean? Anyway, and so there I am on first base. I am ready. I'm watching the ball. It's bouncing. It goes out to the outfield. I'm seeing Jeremiah run. Now, when that guy got momentum going, I mean, it was like the Gloucester Express coming towards you, okay? And so I'm watching him come running, just darting towards first base, and I'm watching the play, and it's coming together. You've seen those close plays before, right? And, you know, the outfielder gets the ball, he throws it to shortstop, and Jeremiah's about halfway, two-thirds of the way to the base, and I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be a close one, all right? And so he's continuing to run, whoo, whoo, you know, he's coming, the Gloucester Express, and shortstop throws it to me, and then it's like everything just went into slow motion. Jeremiah was just, he was just chugging down. He was just moving. And the next thing I know, there was this huge impact. And he ran right into me. Now, I did get the ball, and he did get out. Okay, just in case you're wondering, all right? And I have never been hit that hard in my life. Well, there was that time Kristen and I... Well, I won't mention that, but anyway. I have never been hit that hard in my life. That impact was so great. I felt like I had literally been hit by a train. And you know, have you ever gotten hurt before? And whenever you get hurt, you want sympathy from those around you. Are you okay? Is everything all right? Are you going to make it? And I am just bent over. I am just dazed. I'm seeing streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. You know, I'm just thinking, this is it. And I hear everybody on the field laughing. I mean, it's like you had a comedy hour. And quite honestly, I got a little selfish, and I'm thinking, what in the world? I mean, he just plowed into me. And I couldn't believe it because I was in a lot of pain. It hurt really bad. And I was just bent over, and I'm looking around, and these people are just staring at me, laughing. And I think, you know, I thought you were my brother in Christ. You're supposed to weep with those that weep, right? Rejoice. I wasn't rejoicing. I was weeping. But ain't nobody else weeping, okay? And they are laughing, and I could not figure out for the life of me, why are they laughing? Well, when I finally came to and got, you know, my vision back into to scope, Jeremiah was laying on the ground, and I was standing up. And that's why they were laughing, because this guy that ran into me, under the suit coat, I'm telling you, there's some lean, mean muscle machine. I'm just kidding. And he was laid out on the ground, and I was still standing, and that's why everyone was laughing so hard, because they just figured that he would have buried me 6 feet under and kept going, you know. And so that's why they were laughing. I'm not sure if he had an impact on me, if I had one on him. But anyway, it was a force of contact, okay? And I will never forget that. My ribs will never forget that impact. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. Even though we are talking about making an impact, we're talking about for the cause of Christ. In my life, there have been a lot of people who have made a great impact or impression on me. I'm thinking about my parents. And I'm thankful the Lord saw fit to where I could be raised in a godly home. And they raised me to look to the Lord, and they raised me in church. And I had a very biblical background as far as trusting in the Lord and all that kind of upbringing, that environment. I'm thankful for the sacrifices that they made. I remember when I got braces. And, you know, to me it was just getting... When I got braces, I don't know who was thinking about this, but I had all four wisdom teeth cut out and braces in the same week. There must have been some like coupon or deal that my dad took advantage of. I don't know. But anyway, but I just figured, okay, I just get braces. You know, that's the way it is. You get braces. And I was thinking about how much pain and agony it was causing me, the things I could not do because of braces. But you know, I started thanking the Lord for my parents when I started having children of my own go into braces. Man, I had to sell 3 cars and give up all kinds of... No, it's expensive. But I'm thankful. That made an impact on me, thinking that my parents invested not just monetarily, but spiritually in my life. I'm thinking of others in my life, different pastors that I've had through the years that have pointed me to Jesus. The pastor that was, except here, that was my pastor the longest period of time, went through several trials. He went through the tragic death of one of his wives, and he kept serving the Lord. And even just a few years ago, he went through another issue with his second wife that passed away. And just seeing him still serving the God, serving the Lord. And I remember being a young person back in that church, and you know, serving Jesus was something that was something we got to do, not something we had to do. And it just kind of put a fire under me to want to serve God. And I remember the impact that was made and the people that invested in my life. I'm thinking of good, godly laymen, men and women in the church that I grew up in who invested in my life. The church that I grew up in did not have a lot of staff members, but they had a whole lot of laymen. Now here, we have staff members and we have good laymen, and we're thankful for that. But there was a whole lot of laymen that loved Jesus. And you know what they would say? I couldn't believe it when I was a young person. They would tell the young people individually and collectively as a group, God has a special plan for your life. He's going to use you in a great way. I used to hear that and think, really? Now, I wouldn't necessarily, I don't know that I was doubting God. I think I was doubting me. Maybe I was doubting God a little bit. But they would say things like that that would make an impression on my life. Like, you know, maybe I can do something for God. Maybe, you know, I don't see it a whole lot. I don't see a whole lot in myself, but maybe God can make something of this mess, you know. They would teach us the Word of God. They would point us to Jesus. And it was people like that in my life that made a huge impression on me growing up. I have an aunt that is more like an older sister to me than an aunt, and she was a great tool in my interest as a young person in music. My parents listened to good gospel music. They weren't singers, but my aunt was a singer, and we would, if she was ever in the car with us, boy, we would have on some good gospel music, and we would be singing. And I attribute a lot of my love for music and singing music to her. And you probably, I'm sure you have people like that in your life where you kind of look back and you think, Lord, thank you for the impact that they made in my life. Now, you know what, growing up, there was a lot of people that let me down. There were people who disappointed me. I understand all that. Everyone wasn't perfect in my childhood. And, you know, don't misunderstand me on this. But I'm saying there were people in my life that I knew who loved me. Since we've been here at Grandview Baptist Church, and it just seems, it doesn't seem like it's been 25 years, but it has. There's been a lot of people in this, even in this auditorium, who has made a great impression in my life and impacted my life and taught me and been patient with me and helped me and nurtured me. And I appreciate that. And I look back and I thank the Lord for that. I was thinking years ago of a gentleman that most of you would be familiar with, Burl Yeats. I used to go with him on hospital visits. And he was a retired pastor. And he would take this New Testament right here. And we would go together on hospital visits. And we would go to see someone, of course, in the hospital. And they're a little anxious about this upcoming surgery or this procedure, or maybe unsure of how this is all going to work out. And he would take this New Testament that I hold in my hand, and he would open it up. There's still markers here where he would have certain passages saved that he could turn right to them. And he would read the Word of God to them and comfort them. And I remember sitting there just soaking it in. I remember sitting there just thinking, Lord, thank you for someone who can impact my life. Before he went to heaven, he gave me the... Now, to someone who doesn't know this, this is just an old New Testament that he he used black duct tape to keep it, you know, keep it in form. But to me, this is priceless. Because this represented somebody who impacted my life for the cause of Christ. And I think about those people, and I'm grateful for those people. I'm indebted to those people. I want to say tonight that every person in this auditorium, and anyone under the sound of my voice, if you're watching online tonight, has the potential of making an impact for the cause of Christ. You may think that you can't do it. You may think that you're not worthy, and you may think that, you know, I don't know of anything that I could ever do to impact someone else for the cause of Christ. Well, the fact is, pastors reminded us, first of all, that we're not worthy, but He is worthy, and the Holy Spirit working through us and us yielding to that Holy Spirit is what helps us make a difference, make an impression in the life of somebody else for the cause of Christ. For nearly 37 years, our pastor has had a passion and a desire to make a difference in this area that we would call our community and even across the world as we support missions. Why? Because he wanted to make an impact. He wanted Grandview Baptist Church to make an impact. Now, when I say the church, I'm not talking about the buildings, though we're thankful for them and we care for them and we use them for ministry. When we're talking about the church, we're talking about the people. We're talking about me. We're talking about you and a collected effort of people who have yielded themselves to the Holy Spirit and had a desire to make an impact for the cause of Christ, to make an impression on the life of someone else. And through these years, we've seen the fruit of that. Through these nearly 37 years, we've had people who have given themselves to impacting others for the cause of Christ. In this passage of Scripture tonight, I see kind of a recipe that I want to pull out. There's three different words that I want to use in this message tonight to challenge us. And first of all, I want to start off with a word that I don't know that we use it a whole lot, but you've heard it before, maybe in a song, maybe in teaching from the Bible, but that word is consecration. We're looking at a recipe to where we can, as individuals, make an impact for the cause of Christ. And the first thing that I see here tonight, in verse number 7 of chapter 1, it says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, and I like this next phrase, though it may seem kind of just rote and just part of the introduction, called to be saints. Now, I want to define that consecration word first, and then I want to address that phrase in verse number 7. Consecration basically is called and set apart for a spiritual purpose. It is devoting ourselves for a special purpose. And that purpose, of course, in this context, being for the cause of Christ. And we see here in verse number 7, in this phrase that Paul is using to the Christians in Rome, called to be saints. Now, if you look up this phrase, or at least this word, saints, in the Greek, there's a Greek word for that. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. It's spelled H-A-G-I-O-I-S. And it is not used, it's not a Greek word that's used to exalt the individual as far as me being a saint, you being a saint, and exalting us. It's basically a Greek word for the word saint that is reminding us that it's only through what Jesus did for us that we are called saints. Through His death, burial, and resurrection, He's the one that after saving us and we trusted Him as our Savior, we are called to be saints. We are His saints. It's not giving emphasis to us. It's giving emphasis to the fact of what He did so that we could become a saint. And so therefore, as His saints, He's called us or He's consecrated us, set us apart, devoted us for a spiritual purpose. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10, the Bible says, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, I love that verse because basically what it's telling us is Jesus is saying, I have a special work for you, and God has already decided what it's going to be. I don't know if you guys who, whether you were in secular college or Bible college, if you were like I was, but in Bible college, I had surrendered my life to full-time Christian service, but I had no clue what I was going to do. I didn't know. Guys there, guys in college, and this is all good and fine, I'm going to start a new church. I'm going to start a church. I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And that's all fine and well. But I remember there thinking, boy, I don't really know what I'm going to do. But you know, a comforting thought was that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God already had a plan. He already knew where I was going to end up. He already knew who I was going to marry. He already knew where I was going to end up. He already knew all the future that lie ahead. And this verse is reminding us that we are the workmanship of Jesus Christ, and God has already got a plan for our lives. And so we see that in this word. God has already got it mapped out, and that's a wonderful thought. We see this word consecration, and it reminds me of an illustration that I read some time ago. A young lady, this has been several years ago, a young lady was in a Bible class, and this topic of consecration was brought up. And she asked her Bible professor, she said this, she said, will you please tell me what your idea of consecration is? The professor listened to the question and he got out a piece of paper. And he said this, he said, it is to sign your name at the bottom of a blank sheet of paper and let God fill it in as He will. And he held up that piece of paper that he just quickly wrote on, a blank sheet, and he said, it's to hold up a blank piece of paper, and it's to say, God, I'll let you fill in all the details. And it's just to sign it, and it's to trust Him with our future. Now, we see something like this, and maybe our minds first go to thinking, boy, those teenagers need to hear something like that. Boy, just sign it away, you know. Tell the Lord, hey, blank sheet of paper. You'll appreciate that autograph one day. I can't read it, and I think that's why it's so neat. They say if you can't read your autograph, you must be someone important. Have you ever heard that before? But you know what it is? He told the whole class, he said, it's to get out a blank sheet of paper and just say to the Lord, I signed it, now you fill it in. I'll do whatever you want. That's what consecration is. Now, we hear that, like I said earlier. We may think, well, that's what them teenagers need to hear. They need to sign that piece of paper and let God fill it in. But, folks, I want to remind you, this is a daily process. This is not a one-time thing. You see, God wants to use you, and He wants to use me to make an impact for the cause of Christ in the lives of other people around us on a daily basis. If we're not careful, our paper that we hold up to God has all the concerns of our life on it, and we want Him to sign it. Lord, here's what I want to do with my life. Here's what I think is most important to accomplish today. And Lord, here it is. I just want You to sign it. I want You to sign my plan for my life. We're not careful, that's how we can be. Consecration is when we hold up, you know, a piece of paper, it's just as a visual. And we say to God, I tell you what, God, I'm just going to go ahead and sign it. And You fill in what You want me to do. There is no happier life than the life that's yielded to the Holy Spirit and holds that up and says, you know what? You fill it in. You show me what's best. We're not careful. So many times we want to decide what we do, how we do it, when we do it, where we do it, and not even considering what God would like to fill in and have us sign. And that's how he answered that young student that day. There's a song that a ladies group in our church sings, and it basically the title is, I Am Yours. And the song is basically telling the Lord, I'm yours. I don't feel like a whole lot. I don't feel like I could accomplish much for the cause of Christ. But Lord, I just want You to know that What little I feel like I am, I know that you can make great from it. And I am yours. I don't have a lot of talent. I don't have a lot of ability. There's so many other people that I notice around me who have achieved greater things and so much more smarter than I am and can do things so much faster, and just their mind is so amazing. But God, I just want you to know, what little I seem like I feel like I am yours. You know what God can do with that kind of heart? He can fill in a blank sheet of paper like you've never seen before. You give me an individual who says, Lord, I just want to make a difference in the lives of people around me. I don't feel like I have a whole lot, but I know you do. And if you'll fill it in, I'll do it. And that's the lesson that was to be taught there in that Bible class that day. First of all, we see consecration. Secondly, we see that as we do yield to the Holy Spirit and as we do devote ourselves to God, that it's amazing the opportunities of God connecting our lives with other people so that we can make an impact in their life. In chapter 1, verse 8, we see this verse that we read earlier. I want to reread it again now. It says, First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, this is interesting because Paul is not just commending them for having faith. He is commending them because wherever he goes, he hears of their faith. He's not just commending them for having faith, and we ought to have faith, and we ought to serve the Lord. But Paul is saying to these people, he's saying, look, wherever I travel, I hear about how you are yielded to God and the impact that you are making in the lives of the people around you. These people had connected with others and made such an impact for the cause of Christ that it wasn't just something that was known locally. Paul said, I've heard about it. I've traveled to this town and I've heard about your impact that you're making for the cause of Christ. I went through this village and I heard about it. I travel everywhere I go. I hear about the impact that you are making for the cause of Christ. These Christians in Rome had yielded to God, and God had connected them with people, and they had made an impression on their lives. When you listen to God and follow His plan, and you pray with someone, you're making an impact in their life. So many times people are hurting, and Pastor has taught us this through the years, and whether you be on staff or whoever, it doesn't matter, but he's taught us this through the years, that it makes such an impact on a person's life whenever someone would bring up a prayer request to you. Maybe it's after church in the foyer. Maybe it's outside in the parking lot. And they say, hey, you know, I've got this need and I haven't really said a whole lot about it. And it's, you know, but this is going on, and maybe it's a relationship thing. Maybe it's a health thing. Maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's an occupational thing. And they say, hey, you know, would you help me pray about that? I'll have to be honest and transparent with you. Before this was emphasized so much, there were times where I would say, yeah, I'll help you pray about that. You can count on me. And I'd forget. The pastor taught us years ago, he said, you know, when someone brings that up to your attention, he goes, stop right there and pray with them right at that time. And so many times after that, you'll see, you may leave the auditorium after a service, or maybe even before service, you're coming in, and you see a couple of people over here maybe praying together. You see someone out in the parking lot standing by their car, and there's a couple of people out there praying together. You know why? Because they realize the importance of prayer for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are going through a hard time. And I'll tell you what, you ever had someone pray for you? Did it make an impact in your life? Did it make an impression in your life? You know, when I hear somebody pray for me, that does something. I don't know if I can explain it as well as I feel it, but it makes me feel like, wow, that they care too. They care about my need, and it makes an incredible impact in my life. When you give to the Lord's work, whether it be through missions, whether it be through the bus ministry, whether it be through just tithes and offerings of whatever nature they are, you are making an impact for the cause of Christ. What we think may seem little and insignificant, God can take and He can multiply it and use it in amazing ways. When you hand out a gospel tract, you are making an impact. Years ago, a couple came to our church, and we, of course, greeted them and got to know them. And I asked them, I said, "What brought you here to Grandview Baptist Church?" Pretty much any guest or visitor that comes at some point in the conversation, if it allows itself, I'll ask them, we had a couple visiting last Sunday who said, "Well, we just drove by and, we've been driving by for several months or whatever and decided we're going to come," and they had a great morning. But anyway, a few years ago, there was a couple who came to church, and I started talking to them, getting to know them. And I said, "Hey, what got you to Grandview Baptist Church?" And they said, "Well, it was one of your brochures, one of your gospel tracts." And I said, "Oh, that's amazing. You mean someone came to your door and you answered the door and they, handed you the gospel tract and told you about the church and everything?" And they said, "No. Actually, we got home one day and we found it on our door. And we took it, and I think I'll get the story right. We took that paper and we kind of felt bad throwing it away, but we put it in the drawer there in the kitchen. And if I'm not mistaken, it was almost 6 months. It was a few months anyway, where it just sat in that drawer. Months later, they talked about how, we need to get our family in church or whatever the conversation was about attending church. And they opened that drawer and remembered they had put that gospel tract from Grandview Baptist Church in the drawer, and they pulled that out and said, "Hey, well, let's go here. Dimitri, am I right?" They're still here tonight. Don't ever underestimate the power and the impact that a gospel tract makes. "Well, all we were able to do was knock on a few doors, and there's, we knocked on 50 doors, and there was only about 15 people that answered. The rest of them, we just put a gospel tract on the door." "Oh, well, I don't know if we were very successful." You were to that family. They took that gospel tract. They came to church. Would you agree with me, without putting you on the spot, that made an impact in your life? This right here. You handed out a gospel tract. I want to tell you something this evening. You made an impact, and you are making an impact in the life of someone else. You drive a church bus. Some of you help us in our bus ministry, and you drive a church bus, and you may think, "You know what? All this thing is opening up, checking the fluids, coming early on Sunday and starting the bus, dealing with all these, children that are maybe a little rowdy misbehaving, and I just don't know much getting out of that. I just don't know if much is coming from this." I could tell you story after story of children who grew up, and the only reason they've amounted to anything is because a bus worker knocked on their door, reached them for Christ, and a bus driver picked them up. You understand that we can work our legs off knocking doors and trying to reach people and bring them on a bus, but if we don't have someone to drive the bus, it's really hard. Cameron, you'll agree with me. It's hard to get 30 people here in the car. I tell you what, you drive a Sunday school bus, you're making an impact in the life of so many different people. You help clean our buildings. We have people in our church who help clean our building. By the way, we have a lot more building than we have people who help clean it. And so if you're ever interested in that, please let one of us know, and we will gladly give you an area that you can call your own. I mean, we'll put your name on the wall. I mean, we'll do whatever you want, okay, and help you. But you know what? Those that clean our buildings, they're making an impact. You encourage a young person as you pass them in the hallway, you're making an impact. If we're not careful, We think these little, what we might call little things, aren't that significant, but they are. You pass folks in the hallway before and after church, you'd be surprised the impact that you make in a young person's life if you just greet them and say, "I am so glad you're here." We have children and young people come in our bus ministry, and they all of our children and young people should hear this. So I'm not trying to be partial, but there is a group of young people and children in our church who might not have the home life that some of the other ones have, and they might not have that Christian influence. And the only reason they came to church is because they got themselves up and they came. And they may be a little disruptive. They may cause a little trouble here and there. In many cases, only because they haven't had someone to teach them. But someone at church, instead of putting them down or not saying anything, looks them in the eyes and say, "Young man, I am so glad you chose to come to church today." You're talking about making an impact in the life. We think we've got to go to college and get a degree on making an impact. No, we don't. We just need to, consecrate ourselves. We need to allow the Lord setting us apart, giving Him that blank sheet of paper. Whatever it is you want me to do today, God, I will do that. And you'll be surprised how God will connect you with people where you can make an impact for the cause of Christ. If you've ever wept with someone who was broken, you made an impact in their life. Several months ago, we had a couple in our class who had a baby. And it's really amazing. We have, my goodness, I can't even keep up with it. Three or four couples in our class who in the last year have had a child. I think it's something in the drinking water around here that we have. I don't know if it's contagious or what it is, but anybody want to come to our class and see if that happens to you? I don't know, but we had a couple in our class who had a child. And this was a special time because their first child passed away at a young age. And they had another child, and they were so excited that mom and sister down from California came up to see their daughter who had the baby. And they came to our Sunday school class, and I got to meet mom and sister. And though I did not get to meet them very long, we did get to talk a little bit and get to know each other just a touch there before class. But little did I know that 5 days later, sister would fall unconscious and pass away while they're here visiting in Oregon. The mother called me, well, she called the church. My wife called me. She said, "You remember the mom and the daughter that came to visit for the new child from a couple in our class?" "Yeah, yeah." She said, "The sister of this girl in our class just fell and collapsed unconscious and she died." I said, "You're kidding." I rushed to the hospital and I met with mom. I'd only spent like 5 minutes with her before a Sunday school class. But you know, it's a pretty amazing what God can do whenever a brother or sister's weeping and hurting and crying, and how that He can use an individual like myself or you to bring comfort and help and weep with those that weep. You're making an impact when you show that you care. When you read your Bible and pray together as a family, you're making an impact. You say, "How do you know that?" Because that's what my parents did. And you might be here tonight and you might say, "You know, I didn't have that kind of upbringing." You know what? You can create one. You can start that kind of upbringing. But you're making an impact in the life of your spouse and your children, however your family makeup is, whenever you choose to open the Word of God and pray together. When you mend a strained relationship, you're making an impact. There's too many strained relationships that need to be mended. You know, life is too short to be at odds with someone else. Would you agree with me on that? Okay. Life is too whether I was right or wrong, that's not the issue. I don't like conflict. Now, am I involved in conflict? Yes. You meet people, you disagree, you don't see this, you misunderstand, you know, things along that nature. But you know what? Life is too short just to continue on a strained relationship. There's too many strained relationships in our families and in our friends. And you know what? If we as a stronger Christian, and not saying that we approach this because I'm the stronger Christian, but because we're mature in Christ, if we approach that situation and say, you know, it doesn't matter who was right or wrong, I don't want to have a conflict with you. Let's mend this strained relationship. Do you know what you've done? You've made an impact not only in that person's life, but in the people's life who knew there was an issue. When you ask for forgiveness or you choose to forgive, you're making an impact. I remember our children growing up, and there were times where I might misunderstand something that happened as the father of the house. And I might scold or get on to one of my children later then to find out that I didn't know all the details. Now, I know none of you have ever done that, right? You raised your children perfectly, right? Okay, you never misinterpreted a situation. Well, I have. And I remember I've had to go to my own children and say, you know what? your mother told me the wrong thing, and I'm just asking you to forgive her for the wrong that she did and misinforming me on this situation. No, I didn't do that. I said, you know what? I said, I didn't know all the details. And I was wrong. I need your forgiveness. I don't want that. I don't want that to be out there. You know what that does? And I'm not trying to exalt myself because I'm telling you I've done that. I'm trying to tell you that whenever you bring yourself to another individual and seek forgiveness, it creates an impact. I think many times we teach our children good, godly lessons, even if we've done something wrong, because how we handled it, how we dealt with it. Well, they'll be okay. No, they won't. No, they won't be okay. They're going to remember that, just like we would remember it if someone wronged us. But you choose to seek forgiveness, and you know what? You're making an impact. You choose to write a note to someone of encouragement. I was at the post office, and I'm almost done here. I was at the post office Monday, and I had a big stack of letters all, you know, addressed and stamped and everything, and big old stack of letters. And I took them in the post office. I didn't want to put them in my mailbox. I think someone drove by our mailbox and was mad or something and took it out on our mailbox. The poor thing looked so sad. It's like turned over and the handle is hanging on one little hook. You know, it just looks so sad. And anyway, so I didn't want to put them all in our mailbox. I took them to the post office and I had this big old thing of envelopes, big old stack. And I was opening that door and I was, you know, shoveling them in. The guy standing there beside me, he said, "Man alive, what have you been doing?" I said, "Oh, these are just some thank you notes that my son, who just graduated high school, wrote to folks who gave him gifts." And he goes, "Man, I've never heard of that. We sure need more of that around here, don't we?" You know, and you know, it's amazing what a kind letter or note can do in the life of a person. It's amazing. I was already planning on saying that, and today I received a letter from a college teacher of mine, 25, 6, 7, who knows, who's counting, right, years ago. And the letter is not 27 years old. The letter came today. And the letter was just saying that, you know, he had seen me from a distance at Carissa's college graduation, and he didn't get to speak to me. He said, "But I just want you to know I was glad to see if you're ever back in the area. I hope we can get together. I'd love to hear how things are going at the church," and just, you know, just some kind words there. You know, that means a lot. You ever received a handwritten note or even a typed one? What about even a kind text? We have so much technology today that we have no excuse to encourage and make an impact verbally to anyone in our world. But you know, you write something like that, it makes an impact on someone. I'm just here to tell you tonight that these people had made such an impact in their area that as Paul traveled around, he was hearing about it. He was hearing of what these people did over here in Rome. He's at least in Corinth, and he said around the world. I don't know what all that consisted of back then, but anyway, he said, whenever I travel, I hear of your faith in God and the works that you're doing and the impact that you're making around the world. And if folks like that can make an impact for the cause of Christ, so can we. And last word I want to give you here tonight, and I'm pretty much done, is the word continuation. Paul, in the book of Romans and in other books that he wrote, would encourage his followers, would encourage those who followed Jesus to continue in the good work of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, God's plan is for him to make an impact through our lives until Jesus comes back, till we pass away and we end up in heaven. Every single day of our life, God wants to use you and he wants to use me to make a difference, an impression in the life of somebody else. But there's one thing that intercepts that, that interrupts that, and that's complacency. If we're not careful, we can get complacent in our marriages, in our families, in our ministries. Well, we used to be excited about this thing, and now it's just kind of, oh well. You know, I remember in college, I've shared this story in other settings before, but in college, I had pretty low-end, low-paying jobs. But I remember my senior year of college. Though I had jobs and they paid, I got this really good job at Overnight Trucking Company. Now, you say, why was the name of it called Overnight? Well, it's because you worked overnight, okay? It was a third shift job. I think a lot of people call it graveyard or whatever. But anyway, and I remember I was so excited about this job. It was new. It paid about double starting pay than what I had been getting at any other job that I had ever worked in college. And I thought I had hit, riches, and I just thought this was going to be the greatest thing. And so I was so excited. Man, I went out, I had to buy a brand new pair of steel-toed work boots and some warmer clothes because, Chicago area, working through the night, there's a reason why they call it the Windy City, okay? And so I was so excited. I had this job. It was going to pay double what I'd ever made before. And all this was great. I remember the first several weeks, boy, I was getting ready at night. It was from 10 at night to 6 in the morning. And I would go in and this is so awesome. I am so excited to be. This is the best job I've ever had in my life. And I would go in and we'd work hard and we'd get a lot of work done. But a few months into that thing, I would be putting on my steel-toe work boots, and the other guys would be turning back the covers, getting in bed. And I started getting a little complacent. I'm like, man, this is crazy. I would be trying to sleep in the afternoon while they were, going about their daily things. And it became kind of challenging. And I remember getting a little complacent about that, a little complaining, a little, oh man, this is not as great as what I thought it was. And I had to readjust my thinking. If we're not careful in the areas that God wants us to be productive in and make an impact, maybe you teach Sunday school, and when you first started that class, man, you were excited. You would get the roster every week, and you would pray over every student. And if someone missed, boy, you'd be on there, you'd be texting, you'd be calling, you'd be visiting. But if we're not careful, we get kind of into the rut of this thing, and we can get complacent in so many different areas of our life. The Bible speaks of that when it's talking about weary and well-doing. But the great thing is that as we yield ourselves to the Lord, He wants us and He will use us to make an impact in the lives of all people around us. I'm going to close with this. When I was 12 years old, my parents, of course, I'd always been taken to church. And I don't know why they were looking for a different church. I don't know. I don't need to know. I don't know what it was. But I had been raised in it was a Nazarene church. And there were some differences of beliefs and Nazarene upbringing and Baptists and different things. Some of it dealing with the eternal security and salvation and all that. And there was a lady that my parents knew. Her name was Marlene Osborne. Marlene Osborne went to a Baptist church. She had just started attending, and my parents knew of her. And she invited my parents to come and be her guests one Sunday morning. Well, my parents were looking for a church, and the best that I remember this is being a 12-year-old. They were looking for a place, and so they chose to take her up on that invitation, and they went to Berean Baptist Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And we went there, and boy, it was just a great experience. People were friendly. Well, the next thing I know, we went another Sunday and another Sunday. And then we started going on Wednesday nights. My dad worked second shift, but my mom would take my brother and I to church on Wednesday nights. And next thing I know, this is where we're going to church. Marlene Osborne, by simply inviting my parents to come to that church, planted a seed in my life that made a huge impact in my whole future. And God used that in an amazing way. Don't think you're small, what you may seem small, may think is a small effort would make no impact in the life. A simple invitation to church. A simple note of thanking someone or commending them, or a simple word of kindness, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone. I enjoy doing men's outreach on Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock. And for the last four Tuesdays, the Lord has given us someone trusting Christ as their Savior each time that we go out. That's a huge blessing. That's a praise item. And we're thankful for that. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I don't want to take up any more of your time, but I want to challenge you tonight. You, as an individual, can make an incredible impact for the cause of Christ. Maybe it's carrying a gospel tract and handing it to a coworker this week before the weekend. Now, we may not see the fruit of that right away, but God can do an amazing work and make an impact through our lives. Whatever it is, we simply consecrate our life. We devote our life to Jesus. We seek those connections that He makes in our life. And you know what? We just keep doing it day after day, after week, after month, after year. And it's amazing the impact you can have for the cause of Christ. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. If the Lord has prompted you in any way to make a decision for Him, would we stand together? Could we stand together? Maybe tonight you would just like to take a few seconds, few moments in prayer and say, Lord, I want to make an impact in the life of those around me. God, I want to make a concentrated effort in that area. I want to be a part of changing someone else's outlook on life, someone else's outlook on Jesus Christ. Someone who's going through a hard time, I want to make an impact. Just like these Christians in Rome. Maybe that's your prayer tonight. We open up the altar. You can make a decision as you stand there as well. But as the Lord leads, would you follow His prompting and seeking His direction and making an impact for the cause of Christ? Dear Lord, we thank You for each and every one here tonight. We thank You, Lord. This is the Wednesday night crowd. These are the folks who are actively serving You and who actually do care in a great way about making an impact for the cause of Christ. This is in the middle of their busy week, and they choose to set aside time to come to your house and hear your word presented and sing your praises. And we thank you for that. But Lord, even in a crowd of this nature, I think it's very helpful for us to be reminded of the wonderful impact that you can cause in our lives to those around us as we submit to you, as we yield to you, and allow you to connect us with people around us. I pray that even before we meet again this next Sunday, that you would use each and every one of us in some way to make an incredible impact for the cause of Christ in somebody's life. It might be a family member. It might be a coworker. It might be a total stranger. But whatever it is, Lord, we hold up our blank sheet of paper to you. We sign it. We let you fill it in, and we'll do it. Thank you for being our God and loving us and for this service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for being here tonight.